Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Yo, I'll tell you what I want, what I really, really want. So tell me what you want, what you really, really want. I'll tell you what I want, what I really, really want. So tell me what you want, what you really, really want. I wanna really, really, really wanna zig a zig.
If you want my future, forget my past.
If you wanna get with me, better make it fast.
Everybody's assuming you're going to announce reasonably soon you're going to run for President of the United States. Are you?
So I haven't made a final decision on it. I've told people I've got a lot that I've got to do over the next few months in Florida. We're going to put a lot of points on the board, and then we'll see how the dust settles after that. But I can tell you, we just have a lot of people that realize the country's not going in the right direction and believe that what we've been able to do in Florida, if we could apply that nationally, would kind of get America back on track and back on our foundations. And so I take that very seriously. It's humbling that people have come to me and asked me to do it or urge me to do it. So stay tuned.
Stay tuned.
Man, if I knew you were going to play that. Just kidding.
I got you.
He's my boyfriend.
That's right. So talking to Piers Morgan, Governor DeSantis says, stay tuned, to which Piers Morgan, and I think accurately, says...
That sounds like almost a yes.
It's a stay tuned.
I mean, why wouldn't you?
Well, because, I mean, look, I've got a young family. I mean, I've got different obligations, and it's not the easiest thing in the world to go through. And I also want to make sure that, you know, I have a very clear rationale for doing what I'm doing. All I'm interested in doing is getting things done and accomplishing things. I don't need a title. I don't need fanfare. I just want to know that if I put my mind to this, if we ever did that and were successful, what could I do to make a difference? And that's what I have to have.
I mean, it sounds like yes to me as well. And I had not put together the resign to run thing, but certainly he's not going to declare for president until the legislature makes it so he doesn't have to resign to run. And that hasn't happened yet. So, you know, stay tuned for that. And then they got into the conversation about former President Trump.
You got a great endorsement from someone. Ron DeSantis is a brilliant young leader, Yale and then Harvard Law, who would make a great governor of Florida, which turned out to be true. He loves our country. He's a true fighter. I mean, there's a ringing endorsement from President Trump.
Times change a little bit, I guess. You know, it is what it is.
So. Yeah, I mean, he was a big fan.
No, I mean, I think, and I think, you know, we had a good relationship as a congressman. I mean, I think one of the reasons he got to know me is because I saw this Russia collusion thing as a farce from the beginning.
Right.
Very few people said that. We had a handful of us in Congress that were fighting back against that. And so I would go on TV and I would defend him when it wasn't popular and when it was kind of politically risky. But I just thought it was the right thing to do. And I thought that he had good ideas for the country.
Yeah, so you know, kind of things have changed a little bit. And of course, Piers Morgan's comment, I didn't cut it because it's not relevant because he's not DeSantis, but was your problem with Trump was you became too popular, right? And, you know, so that became a threat, obviously, to President Trump's own perception of his future in the party and his stature.
Yeah, you know, we're setting a great standard in Florida. Have everyone up their game. I want other governors to do a great job.
Which is your favorite nickname that Trump's given you so far? Is it Ron de Sanctimonious or Meatball Ron?
Well, I can't.
I think even he went off Meatball Ron.
I don't know how to spell de Sanctimonious. I don't really know what it means, but I kind of like it's long. It's got a lot of vowels. I mean, so we go with that. That's fine. You know, you can call me whatever you want. I mean, just as long as you also call me a winner, because that's what we've been able to do in Florida is put a lot of points on the board and really take the state to the next level.
Yeah, I mean, winning by what, 1.5 million votes, the biggest victory margin and improvement from 33,000 votes 4 years prior. I mean, that's pretty good. I will tell you this. I'm pretty confident that he can spell sanctimonious.
There is no doubt in my mind.
Harvard, Yale, legal advisor to SEAL Team 1. I think he's being a little, you know, for funny sake, humble on that one.
Back, you think you could beat Biden?
I think so.
So you're running then?
No, I didn't say that. I just said I think I could. I mean, I think that's... I mean, if you look at Florida...
Who would be harder to beat, Biden or Donald Trump?
I don't know. Those are two different electorates.
Trump will be harder to beat because of the structure of the primaries. And because, you know, in running against Biden, if Biden is the nominee and DeSantis is the nominee, 1v1, DeSantis has all the advantages, okay? But Trump versus Field in the Republican primaries... Even if DeSantis is in that field, that's a problem. And that's what I've said so many times is, you know, the field is going to be the challenge. because it's going to be and unless Republicans very quickly coalesce around DeSantis as opposed to the alternatives, I mean, Trump's dream is for 15 opponents. Because then all of the Trump supporters vote for him and all of the non-Trump support Republicans will spread their vote around, right? That's his best goal for winning the nomination. So what about distinctives between Trump and DeSantis?
What do you think of the differences?
Well, I mean, I think there's a few things. I mean, obviously, you know, the approach to COVID was different. I mean, you know, I would have fired somebody like Fauci. I think that he got way too big for his britches, and I think he did a lot of damage.
Okay, that's, you know, it's really interesting to listen to this as all veiled criticism of Trump. He's not coming out and saying the conclusion here, which is, well, gosh, Mr. former president, why didn't you fire Fauci? But think about this. All of the people who are adamantly pro-Trump, who hate Fauci, at some point kind of have to ask that question. You know, in their minds, why didn't he? And DeSantis is like, I mean, I would have. Now, you don't know if he would have or not. You don't get to run that experiment. But it's a very interesting statement viewed in the context of a potential presidential campaign in the primaries against Trump, right? We'll get to more of this in just a second. Candy's got Traffic on the Fives.
Traffic on the Fives brought to you by Executive Landscaping. Big enough to get that job done, small enough to care. Call 250-3756 for no hassle estimate. That's 250-3756. Couple of accidents, and again, not a roadblock this morning, but showing Beverly Parkway and Burlington Avenue. Roadway is clear after that. It looks like Jernigan and Highway 90 still popping up, but not a roadblock either. Certainly, if you have an accident or see an accident, rather, have a traffic tip, text it in, 437-1620. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Thanks so much, Candy. Back to President DeSantis. Eventually, one would hope.
Hey, Freud.
But there were, yeah, that's right. Anyway, there was a couple more points here, and I thought this was my what I thought was the most significant part of the conversation, because again, I'm listening to this thinking this is not just an interview with the Florida governor, right? This is an interview with the future presidential candidate, and viewed as that, particularly in the context of his major hurdle to getting to the nomination is going to be former President Trump, right? So in that context, hear this.
So the way we run the government, I think, is no daily drama. Focus on the big picture and put points on the board. And I think that that's something that's very important.
No daily drama. Like, the knock on DeSantis from the critics is, you know, he's boring. He's the Diet Coke to Trump's Coke or something like that, that he's the bland version or whatever. And DeSantis is like, yeah, it works pretty good, don't it? I mean, versus what's the hindrance for Trump? Is the perception that he's all drama all the time. He loves the chaos. He thrives on it. He generates it, which is going to be part of his problem in getting the nomination and or winning the election if he winds up getting the nomination. And DeSantis is like, you know, you can have like a better version of conservatism. You can have a government run efficiently, smoothly, and without drama, and we can continue to make progress. But you got to make a choice in the primaries. And this to me right here, this was the most significant comment of the entire interview.
You've not been sucked into responding to any of the taunts. Is that a deliberate strategy?
I'm just not following it. I mean, I get taunted and I get attacked every day.
I'm just not following it? Ah, it's brutal. Like, Trump is spending so much time on DeSantis, and DeSantis is like, is he? Okay, interesting.
I mean, you see some of that. To me, it's just kind of background noise. It's not important for me to be fighting with people on social media.
Like how much? He created his own social media company in order to fight with people on social media. Trump did. As opposed to, I just don't really see the value in all of that.
It's not accomplishing anything for the people I represent. So we really just focus on knocking out victories day after day. And if I got involved in all the undertow, I would not be able to be an effective governor. So I don't think it's something that makes sense for me.
All of that distraction, all of that obsession with what everybody's tweeting about you or saying on MSNBC about you, glued to 8 television screens to make sure that nobody's misrepresenting you. God, what an exhausting waste of my time. Can't I instead maybe just be a governor and spend time with my wife and kids? Wouldn't that be better and healthier? And like, that's all about him versus Trump, right? And which managerial style, which person, which attention, which egomania, you know, do you think is the one you want, right? That's what he's talking about. So, yeah, he's not declared yet. Whenever the legislature removes the resign to run prohibition on running for president, that next day, I would think. 719 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay.
Here's today's Strength for Life.
Someone recently asked me, do you believe in guardian angels? And my answer is yes, but only for the Christian. In a rhetorical question, Hebrews 1:14 explains that angels are sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation. So Christian person, since you're saved, an angel has been sent forth to minister to you. And remember, Psalm 103 explains that angels excel in strength. Angels are colossal beings. They are greater in power and might than the strongest of men. However, as strong as angels are, Jesus is stronger. As wonderful as it is to think about the many ways that angels serve us, Jesus served us in a far greater way by giving his life a ransom for us. Angels are created beings, and they're wonderful, but Jesus is the eternal creator God, so rejoice in Jesus today.
For more Strength for Life, check out our website at strengthforlife.church.
A better air filter on your air conditioner is nice, but it isn't enough. It takes a lot more than that to clean the air that you breathe. This is Todd with Gulf Coast Air Care. On Wednesday's Pep Talk, we'll talk about how to keep pollen, bacteria, and other pollutants out of your lungs. Remember what I always say, if you don't have a good air filter, you are one. Let's talk Wednesday morning at 9:30 on Pep Talk.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable. Informative news and talk. Local news and talk. And dependable news and talk. Now on the FM dial at 95.3.
Augustus Gloop, the pride of Dusselheim, the fame of Western Germany, an example for the whole world.
Somebody texts in and says, Andrew, have you thought about being Ron DeSantis' campaign manager? Oh, God, no.
Yeah.
No. No, I no interest in all of that. 722 on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News, and we got headlines in the newsroom with David Wayne. David?
An investigation is underway after a train carrying iron ore derailed in California yesterday. Happened east of Los Angeles. More than 50 train cars derailed. There were no passengers on this one. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu is pausing a divisive plan to restrict the Jewish state's judicial system as protests have all but paralyzed Israel. Netanyahu agreed yesterday to hold off on the changes until the next session of parliament there. And President Biden ordering all flags at the White House and federal buildings across the nation to be flown at half staff in honor of victims of yesterday's school shooting in Nashville. Three children, three adults were killed when the shooter opened fire at the Covenant Presbyterian School. Police killed the 28-year-old shooter, who they say was armed with two semi-automatic rifles.
Yeah, thanks so much, David. It really is. I mean, it's an awful story, of course. And you have, three children. I mean, I just try to imagine being a parent, you know, and you hear about a lockdown, and of course you get concerned, but typically, you know, lockdowns happen all the time. And then you hear about a lockdown, and there's somebody's been hurt. Oh, and somebody, you know, then you hear, it's hard. There was a local anchor where it wasn't at her child's school, but her child's school went on lockdown as a result of this attack, and she just starts like she loses it on air because, of course you do, and I haven't talked about this a lot today, and I'm sure some people are kind of, well, Andrew, this is the news. Why aren't you talking about the Nashville? A lot of reasons, and I'll give you just a couple of them real quick. One reason is because, frankly, I'm very concerned that we have turned school shootings into a way for unstable, sociopathic people to feel like they get famous and they get notoriety. and to feel like maybe if they've got a message, like there's this supposed manifesto that this person wrote, they can get their message out and people will read me and people will pay attention to me and I've done something significant. So we're rewarding the behavior with all this attention. I'm not saying it's not newsworthy. I'm saying that a lot of times in the news, you have to make decisions, not just about what's justifiable to cover, but what's useful to cover. And I'll give you the example that, you know, I think everybody knows, which is that we don't typically report on suicide. And the reason we don't report on suicide is because unstable people who are depressed don't need to hear about how other people took their lives all the time. That's bad for them. It normalizes, desensitizes, and suggests the behavior to people. And the more infamous we make these incidents, the more it encourages people to do this stuff. And there are clearly people out there who, I want to do something. I'm angry. I want to do something. Well, the thing I'll do is blank. And I don't want to get into particulars, but, you know, there's all kinds of things.
Because we know that attendance is down.
There's all kinds of things that a person motivated that way might do, but they keep picking this one. Why? Because we keep showing them this one as the alternative. And that's only, like, that's scratched the surface why I don't want to talk about this an awful lot. I'll tell you more in just a second. Let's get traffic in here with Candy.
All right, and not showing any slowdowns or delays. 90 in Jernigan and Pace, 29 at the Atmore cutoff. Those have been moved off to the side. There's an accident on Beverly Parkway, too. It's not blocking anything. Traffic tips, text 437-1620. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Thanks, Candy. So back to Nashville and why I'm not spending a lot of time talking about I'm going to have to show you what I don't want to show you in order to explain to you why I don't want to dwell on this a lot. I mean, it's kind of, if that seems weird. But here's why, for example. Not only do we normalize it, incentivize it, show people a path to notoriety, but there's another part of this, which is that we're instructing people. We're training them. I mean, all of the, and I know they can probably find the information out anyway, but can you imagine what would happen if, like, if we just kind of all collectively decided not to share all of this information, all of the details? Because in this case, and again, I kind of hate to do this because it does the thing I'm telling you is bad to do, okay? But in this case, what happened? Well, we know that this person used what looks like a .223 rifle, a 9mm rifle, and then also a 9mm handgun. Okay, so two long barrels that are being called assault rifles, whatever, that's not the issue for the day, and a pistol. And imagine somebody's thinking about shooting up a school and thinks to himself, oh, you know, that's a good point. I probably shouldn't just have the one weapon. You know, what if it jams? Maybe two or three makes more sense. Okay, good thought. Oh, they made a map of the school. Oh, yeah, good plan. Like, you know, you don't want to be lost in school in the middle of an event. I mean, just, they've got a manifesto. I want to get my word. Like, the more of the details that come out about this, the more you're giving people suggestions. You know, this school in particular, one of the, I think, key parts of this story that I haven't seen, it's not that it's not reported, it's just it's not emphasized. There was no guard. There was no off-duty cop. There was no SRO because you didn't have to have one at a private Christian school. That's bad. I mean, that's really bad. Every school ought to have something, right? Okay, so that's a problem. It's a major component of this incident that there wasn't somebody on campus to stop the person. You had to wait the 14 minutes for the police or 13 minutes, whatever it is, for the police to arrive, and they did their job very quickly. Good for them. But would an armed guard on campus have made a difference? It's pretty easy to imagine they would have, but okay, factor that in as one of the things, and now what are you telling somebody? Look for a target that doesn't have an armed guard, right? Now, again, that might not have been part of this particular person's thinking. It looks like maybe they went to this school and we don't know what the connection is with all of that. But then also you have the, you know, well, what's the motive? How does that help? What was in their manifesto? What is it going to tell you that's going to be useful? It's going to tell you that they hated the Christian school, that the teachers were mean to them, or, I mean, you know, is that going to help you? It's going to tell you that they felt bullied or that they felt, what's it going to tell you? Why were they transgender? You know, why was this person, you know, a boy but a girl? You know, is that relevant? Does it matter? Were they black? Were they white? Does that matter? I mean, we have this thing, like, humans want explanations, right? We want to be able to take a thing that scares us and put it into a box and say, well, I kind of understand that box. Therefore, I don't need to be scared about this anymore. And we want to follow familiar passive argumentation, like, well, the law prohibits or the law doesn't prohibit. And see, it doesn't matter what the law prohibits because it doesn't work. Or, you know, it's an assault weapon. We shouldn't have those. Those shouldn't be legal. Or they should be legal because, or, you know, all of this, or red flag laws, all of which are fine things to consider when you're making policy. But the reason we like getting into those familiar patterns of thinking or those explanations that we can kind of boxify the situation, because that makes us feel safer. Does it actually make you or your kids any safer? Of course not. I mean, of course not. But it gives you the illusion of safety, which is why we want that stuff. So why haven't I spent a lot of time talking about this today? Well, now you have my reasons. You know, and can we just maybe, just for maybe, kind of just be collectively horrified and saddened about a terrible thing that happens and let that just be what we do?
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster. Nashville police have said it's too early to discuss a possible motive for a school shooting yesterday, killing three children and three adults. They say 28-year-old Audrey Hale left behind a manifesto.
At some point, the police department is going to release that for the public, or at least what they can. The challenge is right now, we don't want people reaching conclusions until we're able to have a very detailed investigation.
That's Nashville Fraternal Order of Police President James Smallwood. Hale was shot and killed by officers responding to the shooting. President Biden visits a semiconductor plant in Durham, North Carolina today, starting what the White House calls the Investing in America tour.
The First Lady, Vice President, and several cabinet members will fan out across the country to highlight legislation passed during the Biden presidency in places that are creating new ventures or expanding.
Fox's Jessica Rosenthal. In Mexico, at least 39 migrants are reported to have been killed in a fire at a detention center close to the Texas border. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning. It's 7:31, News Radio 92.3. Cloudy skies right now, but it looks like the rain has stopped, at least temporarily. It's 72 in Pensacola. The first of several town hall meetings focusing on enrollment in the Escambia School District was held last night in District 3. Board member David Williams welcomed everybody to the meeting and discussed the issues the school district is facing. He says one thing they're watching is House Bill 1. That's the new expanded school voucher program signed into law by Governor DeSantis yesterday.
Because we know that attendance is down in our school systems. We're losing students, and we got to find a way to make sure that we're the best and first choice. Parental environment, involvement, community involvement, schools, safe schools, and of course the book review. That's the big hot topic that we all been dealing with. Everybody wants literacy.
Now, the school voucher program removes income restrictions, makes all students eligible for state vouchers to attend private schools. Similar town hall meetings are going to be held across the Escambia County School District over the next several weeks. There's a meeting tonight for District 2. An insurance reform bill making its way through the legislature right now would make it more difficult to sue insurance companies. One local attorney says the bill probably won't solve all the woes in the insurance industry right now.
The attorneys will probably all be okay. The insurance companies are certainly going to be okay. But the average citizen, that's the one who's going to hurt.
And that is Rachel Gilmer with Levin Papantonio Rafferty. And she tells Channel 3 a lot of people she represents have never expected to need an attorney or expected that they would have to sue an insurance company. Again, that bill making its way through the legislature. And it would also ban third-party perks for customers filing claims for windshield replacements. Polls are open in Century today. A special election to fill two of their town council seats is happening at Century Town Hall. Polls actually opened about a half an hour ago at 7 o'clock this morning. They'll be open until 7 o'clock tonight. You do have to have a photo ID for all to vote. Town Council seats 3 and 4 up for vote. In seat 3, you could vote for Sheila McCall or Evelyn Weber. Seat 4, Eddie Hammond or Alicia Johnson. Marco Rubio calling for what he says is an extraordinary thing. Senator Rubio took the Senate floor yesterday to urge for a ban on TikTok. He says the app scoops up an extraordinary amount of data, including your contact list, age, name, emails, photos, videos, and biometric data. He says TikTok's algorithm knows you better than you know yourself. He says that's why it knows all the videos you'll like before you even know you'll like them. Rubio says The worst thing about TikTok is it's owned by a Chinese company controlled by the Chinese government. Again, the Senate still, or legislature still looking at a possible TikTok ban. Florida ranked 12th among the states with the fewest COVID-19 related deaths. A new study published in the medical journal The Lancet compared states between January of 2020 and July of 2022. And in that time period, Florida had 313 deaths per 100,000 people. The highest death rate for COVID was in Arizona. Hawaii had the lowest. 735 at News Radio 92.3. Let's get a look at your traffic on the fives with Candy.
All right. Good news is we're not showing any of those slowdowns or delays right now. Highway 90 in Jernigan and Pace, 29 at the Atmore cutoff, both showing accidents, but both, again, moved off to the side. Beverly Parkway and Burlington Avenue showing an accident and also showing that that roadway is clear. Looks like, 90 in Jernigan, mentioned that one. Avalon and Highway 90, this is in Milton, also showing an accident. No roadblock there. And then I-10 westbound at mile marker 20. Vehicle crash, no roadblocks. Just use caution, as you know, wherever you are. Be careful. Make sure your lights are on. So some fog. 437-1620, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
We are going to be seeing showers and thunderstorms throughout the morning and afternoon. A few storms could be strong, low in risk for severe weather. As you head into the overnight period, temperatures will be dropping. High today near 75 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 52. We're going to be seeing a nicer day on Wednesday with partly cloudy skies. High near 70 degrees. Wednesday night, temperatures dropping near 53. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
Thanks, Brooke. 735 News Radio 92.3. It's 72 in Pensacola, 72 in Gulf Breeze, 71 in Milton. Our next news at 8. Breaking news anytime. News Radio 92.3.
I'm Jennifer Kishinka with Your Money Now. U.S. regulators have sued Binance Holdings Limited, alleging the operator of the world's largest cryptocurrency exchange kept an illegal foothold in the U.S. market and violated rules designed to prevent illicit financial activity. The lawsuit sets up a battle between the Commodities Futures Trading Commission, one of the U.S.'s smallest financial regulators, and a global company whose CEO is one of the industry's most influential figures. Binance has survived and grown, even as many other crypto companies have gone bankrupt over the past year. Lyft, which is battling competitors and has a battered-down stock price, is tapping a board member as its CEO, and its two co-founders will step back from managing the company. David Risher, who had management shifts at Amazon and Microsoft before starting a childhood reading nonprofit in 2009, will take over from Logan Green, who co-founded Lyft with current president John Zimmer. Lyft shares up 6% of pre-market trading. On Wall Street, futures little changed. That's Your Money Now.
At Gulf Breeze News, they get it. They know you want to know what's happening in your community, whether that means investigative reporting, area events, or op-eds from your fellow breezers. The Gulf Breeze News truly is your community newspaper. Call 932-8986 and subscribe today. You can read online if you prefer to use your iPad or computer, or get your freshly printed newspaper delivered right to your mailbox. From city to county, politics to sports, subscribe now at gulfbreezenews.com.
Here are the News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 contest rules. You can win one prize per household per contest in any 30-day period, unless specified by individual contest rules. All prizes on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 are non-transferable, non-redeemable for cash, or exchangeable for any other prize. News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 prizes must be redeemed within a 30-day period of winning. For a complete list of rules, visit newsradio923.com.
Tune in to News Radio Pensacola on the FM dial at 92.3 and 95.3. Listen on the AM dial at 1620. Stream us online at newsradio923.com or download the News Radio Pensacola app. You can also listen to podcasts of all of our local shows on demand and get news and traffic alerts. Listen to local talk shows in the morning and afternoon drive, and we're Pensacola's home for Brian Kilmeade. News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Yeah. Good morning, 7:38, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. At the moment, we're in a gap in the rain, and we might get some that's kind of over Mobile right now coming here maybe in the next hour or two, but might skip us also. It's hard to tell from the map a little bit, so I don't know, kind of be aware as, I guess, my guidance. Joining us, as he always does, in studio, Sheriff Chip Simmons, Escambia County Sheriff. Sheriff, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Good morning, Andrew. How are you?
I'm doing great. Good to have you. So let's start with, I just spent a long time explaining why I haven't spent a lot of time talking about the Nashville school shooting today, but I did want to start with this, if only for this reason. To me, the real key to this story is there was no SRO, there was no off-duty police officer, there was no armed guard at this school, something that you are an adamant supporter of having, right?
Right. You know, we've talked over the last couple of years about, you know, the guardians and how it's good to have an armed individual employee or a sheriff's deputy at the schools. And I've always been adamant that I believe the best course of action is to have an armed, uniform, swarmed law enforcement officer at every school. That's every elementary, every middle, every high school. And I would even venture to say that private schools, mm-hmm. if you have a private school of over so many, you know, students, I think that part of you know, being a school, you should have an adequate security plan. And to me, an adequate security plan is an armed law enforcement officer, sworn law enforcement officer. But I don't want to take away from the guardians. I mean, we have trained dozens of guardians, and they're doing a great job, from what I understand. And we're glad to have them. I think that as a supplement, they can certainly be used. It can be a sworn deputy and a guardian, or it can be, because some schools we have two law enforcement officers, middle and high schools. I just think that, you know, we can't afford to take chances with our children.
And that was you know, we had SROs. We've had SROs for a long time, but the requirement to have them was a byproduct of the Parkland Commission and Sheriff Galtieri, who was the chairman of that. And, you know, the idea that, I mean, this is something we can't afford to be optional about, right?
Yeah, there were recommendations. You know, Sheriff Galtieri was the chairman of that. And one of those recommendations, and it's right there in front of you, right, was to have sworn law or to have armed guards in some capacity at right. all the schools. And I don't know, maybe having sworn law enforcement officers was at the time a bridge too far for them. I just, you know, people ask me and I give them my opinion, because I think that the best option is to have a sworn law enforcement officer in the schools with radio contact with outside officers that might be responding. Now, I'm not saying that will stop everything. I mean, clearly we have to do some other things as well. I am curious, and I haven't heard yet, about if they've had any interactions with this particular
right.
suspect in the past, and to what degree there was some contact and maybe even some intervention.
Right. Was there any red flag elements to this case beforehand? And, of course, you know, it's not just schools, right? You know, when I go to the bank, when I go to the Walmart, when you go to the bars, you know, there's places where there might be issues, that's, you know, that's why you have off-duty law enforcement all the time. Well, I just wanted to give you a chance to talk briefly about that. I know people kind of wanted to, I assume people want to hear your thoughts on that, which, you know, we know where you stand, and it's good to repeat that stance. We've had a couple of shootings here in Escambia County, some very concerning ones. One was on Buckingham Road, I guess, on like Thursday night into Friday. Somebody found somebody, is that right?
Yeah, we have a body was discarded, actually, on that roadway, and we are working it as a suspicious death. We are asking if anyone has any information.
It was a shooting? They were shot?
It appears to be
okay.
A shooting death, yes. And we do have some leads. Our investigators have been working on it since Friday, and you know, we feel pretty comfortable with where we are on it, but we always ask for more information. So yeah, we're working that as a homicide.
But we don't have identification, age, anything that we're not putting out yet.
Yeah, no, we're not willing to put anything out yet.
Okay, all right. And just again, you know, some people have been listening to you and me talk for you know, years, and other people, this is the first time. The reason police don't always put out all the information is because that's a vital way of checking witnesses' statements and are they reliable, not reliable, right? And there's investigative value sometimes to withholding information.
Right. And typically we don't identify a victim in a crime. There's some rules, there's some back and forth, honestly, about whether you can identify the victim of a homicide. Typically we don't identify the homicide victim because the next of kin needs to be notified and that sort of mm-hmm. thing. And so oftentimes the medical examiner gets involved in that. At this point, though, while we have some information, we're not ready to put that information out yet, because there's leads that, like you said, we need to follow up on before word gets out, if you will. But then we had another one on Saturday that we're working, that we do have a suspect on, and we put that individual's name out, Nathaniel Cunningham Jr., 58140. It was a picture on our social media platform, picture of him on our Facebook page, and we ask if anyone knows or they think they know who he is. Maybe take a look at him and then tell us where he is if they have any.
What happened in that case?
Well, I've said all along that our homicides are because of two things. One is drug related, and the other thing is domestic violence related. This particular one was a fight over a cell phone between two cousins. One cousin ended up shooting to death the other cousin. And that's why we have the warrant on the one cousin. So we have pretty good information on it. We have the warrant, obviously, for a homicide on Mr. Cunningham. And, again, it's just senseless. It's a senseless act.
Things escalate. People do stupid things, sometimes wicked things, you know. Well,
this is the second violent crime we've had over a cell phone. I think we had
someone get
cut over a cell phone over the – not seriously injured. But, I know cell phones are expensive now, but we don't need to get – carried away with the possessions like that.
You raise children. You know, with my boys, I have one line. It's my one repeated line. Leave the area. Just walk away, breathe, take a minute,
even
take a
if
lap.
You think you're right. Even
yes,
if you are
especially
right,
if you think, because everybody
wrong.
Thinks yeah. they're right. You know,
right.
You got some good stuff coming up. Well, actually, you just did the torch run yesterday, right?
Yeah, the torch run. Law enforcement torch run is where law enforcement officers from throughout the state will carry a torch, and the purpose of it is to raise money for the special needs, Special Olympics, and it works out very well. They started yesterday morning. I met them. I didn't run this time. I was busy. I had a meeting, so I couldn't do the run. But we ran from the sheriff's office to the police department. Then they ran downtown. And again, the purpose of it is to raise funds for Special Olympians. And if you've ever seen, these Special Olympians, and you see the excitement on their face when they participate in anything.
Yeah.
I mean, they would have some there at the torch run. And then back in the day, we used to do – we raised some money at like Red Lobster, I believe it was, and mm-hmm. we'd tip a cop, they called it. And we'd do the same thing, and we would have special needs children with us. And it was just a very memorable – rewarding experience for us, and again, we participated in it yesterday. I think Santa Rosa doing it today.
Very good. Hang on for just a second, because I just had one other thing I wanted to get to with you. Candy's got traffic on the fives.
Accident on Beverly Parkway and Burlington Avenue. Again, moved off to the side, and it looks like Fairfield, just as you get onto the interstate, showing a vehicle crash. That happened a little bit earlier. That's also been moved off to the side. Taking a look at 90 in Jernigan. That's also clear. Avalon and Highway 90, right in front of PSC, showing an accident with no roadblock. And then I-10 westbound. It's at mile marker 19. Look for a vehicle crash. Says the roadway is clear. Watch for emergency vehicles. And certainly if you see an accident or you have a traffic tip, 437-1620, text it in. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Thanks so much, Candy. Back to Sheriff Chip Simmons. Last cool thing you've got coming up, is it this Friday?
Yeah,
you've got movie night.
Yeah, you know, every year we have a couple of these movie nights. The Scambia Sheriff Foundation bought this big screen for us so we can take it to various neighborhoods and show a particular movie. This movie, Friday night, we're going to watch, we're going to show the movie Wreck-It Ralph, and we're going to be at the Myrtle Grove Sports Complex. We try to get into different areas. We'll have one in the North End. We were in Century in December. Mm-hmm. We'll be in Beulah a little later on this year. Now we're on the West Side, what we call the West Side, over at the Myrtle Grove Sports Complex. That's back where they used to play football and baseball, and I think they're trying to ramp that back up, but it's, well, I think 61st, maybe the foot of 61st Street, south end of that. But we're going to be there. It starts about 5 o'clock. The movie will start probably at 6 o'clock, and we'll feed you. We got hamburgers. We have hot dogs. We have potato chips.
Way to bury the lead, man.
I know. I want to get them to watch the movie first, and then, oh, by the way, but bring your chair. We don't know what the weather's going to be like. We never know what the weather's going to be like, but we're going to be there, and it's just an enjoyable time. If you've not been to one of our movie nights, and you'd like to, obviously, you're free to do so. We're going to start posting all of the dates so you can know if you can't make this Friday, you can make it next couple
of
weeks. And it's just one of the best things that I think that we're able to do. And again, we couldn't do it if it weren't for the foundation to provide this thing. And then we have some kind people that want to give money and they it goes towards some of the food that we get. And otherwise, the food is paid for by seized funds. We seize funds from bad guys, and we turn it into food for good guys.
I thought you were going to say...
Shut up, you were using drug money for hot dogs?
Well, I thought he was going to say seized meat. You know, like you get in there, and they've got some ribs in the freezer, and, you know, we're going to cook those up for the kids.
Oh, does that ever happen?
There's not a great market for a hot hamburger patty.
The secondhand meat. Yeah.
To be fair, do you know that, or are you guessing?
Well, I'm word on the street. There's not a lot of frozen hamburger patties to be.
So to be clear, street meat does not mean seized ribs and steaks from the drug dealers' houses.
Yeah, I'm not sure where you're going with that.
Sheriff Chip Simmons on their Facebook page has all the events. You can follow more there, and he always puts up with us real good. Sheriff, thanks so much for the time this morning. I appreciate it.
You bet. Y'all take care.
Thank you so much.
749 News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay.
Hi, I'm Escambia County Sheriff Chip Simmons. The Escambia County Sheriff's Foundation will host their very first Cops, Cars, and Crawfish event Saturday, April 15th from 10 o'clock to 2 o'clock at Five Flag Speedway. We'll have crawfish plates, hamburgers, hot dogs, there will be a car show, and we'll show the movie Cars on our giant screen. So come on out to Five Flag Speedway Saturday, April the 15th and support the Escambia County Sheriff Foundation's Cops, Cars, and Crawfish. For more information, go to the Escambia County Sheriff's Foundation Facebook page. See you there.
What you've heard about probiotics is probably wrong.
I eat yogurt, so I don't need to take a probiotic. Probiotics? They don't really work.
It's time to learn the truth about probiotics from Align, the probiotic brand recommended by gastroenterologists 2 times more than any other probiotic brand. Align has probiotics to naturally help relieve occasional bloating, gas, and abdominal discomfort. Try Align for a month and see how great a healthy gut can feel at AlignProbiotics.com.
Wherever you are, you can listen to News Radio Pensacola on the radio at 92.3, 95.3, or AM 1620.
I just wanted to say that I'm a nerd.
We have the best listeners, especially some of them who listen for a long time, you know, like listen for hours a day. We got in from a good friend and says, you know, clarifying statements about meat seems to be the stealth theme of the day.
Okay, because he had one about story, meat, and I was like, oh my gosh, can you say that? What a euphemism. He's like, no, it's lunch meat. But
guys,
I really did want to know. It's like, man, you get all
the
these
best.
Burgers from like Bob's house who stole drugs. And
a lot of questions I'm getting
get
about
burgers,
what is street meat? I don't know. I thought it was an expression.
I know. I almost wrote it on my hand because I am going to use it in conversation all day today somehow.
7:51. David year. Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David.
Former President Trump calling his New York hush money payment case a new way of cheating on elections. In an interview that aired yesterday, he said he doesn't know if the probe will hurt or help his chances of another run at the White House in 2024. A group of Republican senators introduced a measure yesterday that would overturn President Biden's student loan forgiveness plan. That proposal, brought forth by Louisiana Senator Bill Cassidy, asserts that the executive action favors a small group of borrowers and leaves behind Americans who hold other forms of debt. And a U.S. Senate staffer was badly injured after being stabbed in Washington, D.C. over the weekend. The 26-year-old Senate aide that works for Republican Senator Rand Paul of Kentucky suffered a punctured lung and potential brain bleeding. Police did arrest a 42-year-old suspect who was released from prison the day before that attack.
David, I have discovered what I think is the term to describe the way you very appropriately transition to your subjects from our subjects.
Oh, sure. Do tell.
The strategic pause.
You know,
it's a just a,
yeah.
There it is.
Yeah.
Oh,
it's got a name.
You're winning.
And I well didn't done. Know.
Yeah, it's good. Good stuff. All right. 7:52 on News Radio 92.3. Oh, man. So I had apparently not zoomed out enough on our News Radio ThreatNet radar, because I was telling you about this kind of stormy system that's over Mobile, right? Yeah. That's headed maybe to the north end of the county. It doesn't look like it's exactly going to come through the middle of Escambia. When I zoom out, I see that everything from like just maybe 20 or 30 miles south of Jackson to New Orleans is the next round of this. like, there's a huge, like, there's all of these thunderstorms and areas of concern. And that one's coming behind the one that's in Mobile right now. So later on today, I'll just say this, later on today, in a couple of hours, we might be dealing with some weather.
So yeah, in your face, Bobby.
Yeah.
Just kidding.
I'm not a forecaster. I'm not a, you know, a meteorologist. I'm just looking at the map and saying.
But we'll have the latest for you, of course, all the way through. Exactly, we are live and local, unlike everybody else.
Interesting. Blockbuster Video has gotten in the news the last couple of days. And you say, what? So there's still one Blockbuster in, was it Bend, Oregon? Is that where that one's at?
I think you're right.
I think it's in
Bend.
And
there's a movie called The Last Blockbuster.
Right, right. So they recently updated their website with a message. If you go to their website, it just says Blockbuster with the blue logo and the ticket, like a ticket stub. We are working on rewinding your movie, which doesn't mean an awful lot. Also, some people are young enough to be like, what? Why would you rewind a DVD? Anyway, no, but they've got that. And then there have periodically been other things with actors show up and anyway, apparently there was a change. One of the changes was make it a Blockbuster night and Blockbuster experience. And so I guess Dish is somehow connected with their brand and owns the brand for Blockbuster. I don't know the details here. And as a guy who used to work at Blockbuster way back in the day, what people are wondering is there some kind of resurgence or a coming back for Blockbuster? What would that look like? I mean, are people going to go to the store to get videos, DVDs? What exactly would this look like? I mean, as a person who, you know, there's a sort of a smallish following of Blockbuster, you know, that remembers the nostalgia of it or whatever.
Oh, sure.
But they went out of business for reasons.
Yeah, mostly the you have our tape too long. I mean, don't, and I worked there. I know,
but
not
also
at Blockbuster. But
I mean, you know, Netflix used to celebrate being able to put Blockbusters out of business. They used to throw parties at their corporate every time a store closed. I mean, that's how they viewed it, and. You know, there's a reason you don't have video rental stores anymore, except maybe once in a while you have like a section of somebody's store. Anyway, so I don't know what the resurgence of this exactly would mean, but as people are talking about it, I don't think it's going to amount to nothing. Way to give you an uplifting story. 7:55 on News Radio 92.3. Let's get traffic on the fives with Candy.
Right. A few accidents to watch out for. And again, possible severe weather maybe on the way. Now, we had some heavy fog this morning. Beverly and Burlington, hit-and-run crash, but again, moved off to the side. An accident, I-10 westbound at mile marker 19, but it looks like that has been cleared up now. Another accident, Highway 90 in Avalon. That's in Milton, it looks like, in front of the PSC campus. But again, not a roadblock. Certainly, if you see an accident or have a traffic tip, by all means, please text it in. So we can let everybody else know. 437-1620. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Oh, this is kind of cool. Did you happen to see that they scientists claim they have discovered? I'm going to say it exactly that way because they're working on like a fragment of a skull for what they think is a different kind of beaver that they've discovered. And I'm always a little bit like, maybe it was just a, you know, beaver with a large skull. Anyway, but okay, they say, you know, that they've discovered a new branch of the beaver tree or the family of beavers. And the interesting thing that makes this a story, because I wouldn't normally be reporting on fragments of a beaver skull turning into news, but University of Texas at Austin, they've named a newly discovered species of ancient beaver after Buc-ee's.
Oh.
They've named it after Buc-ee's, the convenience store chain. Oh, I'm going to butcher this. Anchithriomys Buc-ee-i, or A. Buc-ee-i, is B-U-C-E-E-I. I don't know why
the way you spell Buc-ee's.
Yeah,
yeah,
but
cool.
So they basically after the, you know, the chain of stores that are like super. Oh my God! If you go up, is it 65? That's the one, right? Mm-hmm. If you go up 65. You start seeing signs at like 175 miles to the Buc-ee's.
To the Buc-ee's, absolutely.
I know,
isn't that cool?
It's so crazy.
It's the Priesters of the South.
Yeah, they get you thinking about that really, really sure. Early on.
Have you ever stopped at Priesters Pecans?
Oh, no, but
no,
I know what you mean driving here. By it. Is it fantastic?
Everybody should always, yes, you should always stop there on the all way right, down. Right. They even have free samples. You don't even have to do anything. Use them.
Well, that's not music to my ears.
I'm saying, dude, I know. Buc-ee's. That's awesome.
7:57 on News Radio 92.3. Oh, we've been talking a bunch about DeSantis today, and I thought this was an interesting story. It comes to us from the left, which is fine. You know, the left can report news, too. But the New York Times says that Studies Weekly, which is a curriculum designer that is used in about 45,000 schools throughout the country, that they had updated some of their lesson plans or some of the content of their books. And particularly, they had updated the Rosa Parks story on the Montgomery bus boycott. The original phraseology of the text was, the law said African Americans had to give up their seats on the bus if a white person wanted to sit down. Accurate. Of course, obviously, accurate. The updated version says she was told to move to a different seat without the reference to her race or the race of patrons being a part of the story, which, of course, you cannot understand that story unless you understand the race involved. And apparently Studies Weekly, what they were reacting to was their perception of the bills that had been passed in Florida and that their text curriculum would not be accepted if it referenced race in a way that made people feel uncomfortable, you know, the kind of the language that went into place last year. And so they made similar changes to a fourth grade lesson about segregation laws that arose after the Civil War and, you know, how Jim Crow was affecting them. And instead of saying, you know, talking about Jim Crow and black Americans, instead would say men of certain groups, okay, and certain groups of people were not allowed to serve on juries, that kind of stuff. So it's interesting because the Florida Department of Education suggested that they had gone too far with the edits. And now they're not, they just kind of pulled out from consideration in Florida altogether, apparently. But it is a worthwhile note that when you have a kind of a censorship environment, people will go too far in order to avoid running afoul of it. And that is a concern.
Listen on air at 92.3.